Then Zebedee's two sons, James and John, approached him, saying, "Master, we want you to grant us a special request." "What do you want me to do for you?" answered Jesus. "Give us permission to sit one on each side of you in the glory of your kingdom." "You don't know what you are asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup I have to drink? Can you go through the baptism I have to bear?" "Yes, we can," they replied. Then Jesus told them, "You will indeed drink the cup I am drinking, and you will undergo the baptism which I have to bear. But as for sitting on either side of me, that is not for me to give. Such places belong to those for whom they are intended." When the other 10 heard about this, they began to be highly indignant with James and John. So Jesus called them all to him and said, "You know that the so-called rulers in the heathen world lord it over them, and their great men have absolute power. But it must not be so among you. No, whoever among you wants to be great must become the servant of you all. And if he wants to be first among you, he must be the slave of all men. For the Son of Man himself has not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life to set many others free." Then they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving it, accompanied by his disciples and a large crowd, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting in his usual place by the side of the road. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to call out, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me." Many of the people told him sharply to keep quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have pity on me." Jesus stood quite still and said, "Call him here." So they called the blind man, saying, "It's all right now, get up, he's calling you." At this, he threw off his coat, jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked him. "Oh, master, let me see again." "Go on your way then," returned Jesus. "Your faith has healed you." And he recovered his sight at once and followed Jesus along the road. When they were approaching Jerusalem and had come to Bethphage and Bethany on the slopes of the Mount of Olives, he sent off two of his disciples with these instructions. "Go into the village just ahead of you, and as soon as you enter it, you will find a tethered colt on which no one has yet ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anybody asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say, 'The Lord needs it,' and we'll send it back immediately." So they went off and found the colt tethered by a doorway outside in the open street, and they untied it. Some of the bystanders did say, "What are you doing untying this colt?" But they made the reply Jesus told them to make, and the men raised no objection. So they brought the colt to Jesus, threw their coats on its back, and he took his seat upon it. Many of the people spread out their coats in his path as he rode along, and others put down straw, which they had cut from the fields. The whole crowd, both those who were in front and those who were behind Jesus, shouted, "God save him! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! God bless the coming kingdom of our father David! God save him from on high!" Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple and looked round on all that was going on. And then, since it was already late in the day, he went out to Bethany with the 12. On the following day, when they had left Bethany, Jesus felt hungry. He noticed a fig tree in the distance, covered with leaves, and he walked up to it to see if he could find any fruit on it. But when he got to it, he could find nothing but leaves, for it was not yet time for the figs. Then Jesus spoke to the tree, "May nobody ever eat fruit from you." And the disciples heard him say it. Then they came into Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of the dove sellers, and he would not allow people to carry their water pots through the temple. And he taught them, and he said, "Doesn't the scripture say, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations'? But you have turned it into a den of thieves." The chief priests and scribes heard him say this and tried to find a way of getting rid of him. But they were, in fact, afraid of him, for his teaching had captured the imagination of the people. And every evening he left the city. One morning, as they were walking along, they noticed that the fig tree had withered away to the roots. Peter remembered it and said, "Master, look! The fig tree that you cursed is all shriveled up." "Have faith in God," replied Jesus to them. "I tell you that if anyone should say to this hill, 'Get up and throw yourself into the sea,' and without any doubt in his heart believe that what he says will happen, then it will happen. That is why I tell you, whatever you pray about and ask for, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And whenever you stand praying, you must forgive anything that you are holding against anyone else, and your heavenly Father will forgive you your sins." So they came once more to Jerusalem, and while Jesus was walking in the temple, the chief priests, elders, and scribes approached him and asked, "What authority have you for what you're doing? And who gave you permission to do these things?" "I'm going to ask you a question," replied Jesus. "And if you answer me, I will tell you what authority I have for what I do. The baptism of John, now did it come from heaven, or was it purely human? Tell me that." At this, they argued with each other. "If we say from heaven, he will say, 'Then why didn't you believe in him?' But if we say it was purely human, well..." For they were frightened of the people, since all of them believed that John was a real prophet. So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." "Then I cannot tell you by what authority I do these things," returned Jesus. Then he began to talk to them in parables. "A man once planted a vineyard," he said, "fenced it round, dug out the hole for the winepress, and built a watchtower. Then he let it out to some farm workers and went abroad. At the end of the season, he sent a servant to the tenants to receive his share of the vintage. But they got hold of him, knocked him about, and sent him off empty-handed. The owner tried again. He sent another servant to them, but this one they knocked on the head and generally insulted. Once again, he sent them another servant, but him they murdered. He sent many others, and some they beat up and some they murdered. He had one man left, his own son, who was very dear to him. He sent him last of all to the tenants, saying to himself, 'They will surely respect my own son.' But they said to each other, 'This fellow is the future owner. Come on, let's kill him and the property will be ours.' So they got hold of him and murdered him and threw his body out of the vineyard. What do you suppose the owner of the vineyard is going to do? He will come and destroy the men who were working his vineyard and will hand it over to the others. Have you never read this scripture? 'The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvellous in our eyes.'" Then they tried to get their hands on him, for they knew perfectly well that he had aimed this parable at them, but they were afraid of the people. So they left him and went away.